Had to throw in the other boys there because
The
they're
saber
important
tooth.
too. Slaywatooth.
I know.
You keep hearing it as Sabretooth, which is funny. The people of the
But
inlet.
yeah,
We are here
but we're here. We were
6th of
recording this
June.
on June the 6th. It is Thursday, June the 6th, but you will be hearing this on Monday, June the 10th, I believe.
Happy belated D-Day.
Oh yeah, it is D-Day.
Today's D-Day day.
Yeah. Jim Biden's over there.
Good.
But yeah, we have
I imagine Justin is too.
Yeah, he said that Russia should be invited. You didn't hear that?
What?
Yeah, he was like kind of making a case to have Russia be there.
Okay.
But we don't need to get into Trudeau.
Do you want your job or not, man? Because if you say stuff like that, you're probably gonna lose it. Or maybe he already knows. Maybe he's already looked at the polls.
Uh-oh.
Anyway,
But anyways,
we're not here to talk
we're
politics.
not here to talk
We're here
politics
to talk
or
industry politics.
yes, and today we will be discussing Billie Eilish's third studio record,
End
Hit
of the
Me
Show.
Hard and Soft. And we will also be talking about our we'll just have this little conversation regarding our thoughts on kind of the incredible, or just like the invasion of country music into mainstream charts and kind of mainstream music. I think we briefly talked about it, but
Do you want
we'll
to turn
go a
your
little bit
video
further
off
in
just for
depth
bandwidth?
today. I can do that as well.
Yeah, there we go. Now we hopefully won't
We'll edit that out.
we won't hopefully we won't sound bad. But
But
yeah.
Billie Eilish's, I guess this would be her junior attempt on a record, Hit Me Hard and Soft, 10 tracks, 43 records. It dropped about 2.5 weeks ago now, so we have quite a bit of time to digest. I have no idea what you think about this record. I honestly don't even really know how you felt about the prior one, Happier Than Ever. So what were your expectations, or what did you think about Happier Than Ever, and what did you expect
Part
from
of me
Hit Me
feels
Hard
like I
and
put
Soft?
you on Happier Than Ever in a way.
Perhaps. I
I
still
remember
haven't listened
we
to it.
have I just remember us having a conversation, one of our first conversations, trademark, about music and me talking about Getting Older as a song, which is
We
the
did.
opening track. But no, I am a very big Billie Eilish fan. Well, no, not maybe not very big, but I'm definitely a Billie Eilish fan. Her concert in Vancouver when she was touring for Happier Than Ever was the first concert I had ever been to.
Wow.
Though I went, well, as besides from like The Wiggles, that was
Oh
my
yeah, well
first
no, we
ever
don't count those.
concert. I don't
No.
know, we might have to count those though. The Wiggles are legends.
Oh man.
My first adult concert. But yeah, well, although I was there just because more out of circumstance than like genuine
Fandom,
interest of
yeah.
yeah than out of fandom, but the show was great as you would expect, and yeah, expectations. So I enjoyed Happier Than Ever. I like that album a lot. Introspective. Happier Than Ever, the song is like the song that I think best encapsulates Billie Eilish as an artist, just because
Yeah, I
it
think that's her best song.
starts soft, blows up on you at the end. Very good song. And so with Hit Me Hard and Soft, I was naturally was excited and had expected that this would be a good album, that it would
Were there any
be
singles? There
no I
weren't.
no there weren't any singles either. And so yeah, reasonably high expectations, and they were met. I really enjoyed the album. It impressed me in a lot of places, and it surprised me in a lot of places too, which you always want to see. And it's just nice that this duo, this brother sister duo of Billy and Finn, continue to evolve and change things up and try new things, and are just really cementing themselves as one of the more like consequential like music families and music duos, like producer singer duos out there. So that's my
well said
initial thoughts. What were your expectations?
I mean, I expected honestly greatness. I think that Finn and her together just have something that nobody else in the industry has right now. And obviously they have the entirety of their lives as experience making music together. And I am honestly not the biggest Billie Eilish fan. For a long time there, I really didn't like how soft her voice was. I thought that the kind of songs were kind of limited because of they wanted to use her voice so softly. But my feelings and my kind of taste for Billie has evolved over time as their music has. And I expected greatness, and honestly, we got greatness. This is definitely my favorite Billie record. This is also the one that I've probably listened to the most intensely and the most
intentionally.
And probably did the most sonic surgery to it in my mind. And man, this is a really fun record to listen to. I'll start off with that. Like,
yeah,
I probably had the most fun listening to the only record that I would say I've had as much fun listening to this calendar year was Vultures One. Like this record is like, I love the shifting of paces and of each song, not even to mention the changing of BPMs within each song and kind of the subtraction and addition of intense instrumental pieces within each song. And it still sounds like Trademark Billie, but they try some new things with production and with song pace and with kind of song structure. Like Birds of a Feather is probably my favorite Billie Eilish song I've ever heard. And I also think it's the only song that, like, this is the first time that she's tried like a 120, like just BPM pop song since like Ocean Eyes. And I'm glad that they have gone across the spectrum of sound for this record. It's just a really fun record. And I don't know how you wouldn't enjoy this. There was something for everyone. I sent this to some of my friends who I know don't like Billie. And I was playing the album when it dropped and they're like, hey, don't play this. I don't want to hear this. And the next day they were sending me songs from the record. Like that's just what the kind of record this is. I think that it has something for everyone. Like maybe not. And I think that is largely due to the production. Like the production on this record, I think, is the most expansive and maybe the most ambitious. Just sonically, like not technically. I think that they can kind of do whatever they want technically, but
If We All like Fall Asleep is pretty dope.
It is true. It is. And I mean, I haven't listened to that.
Zanny, You Should See Me in a Crown, Bad Guy.
Obviously, Bad Guy.
Over. Like, that's a very interestingly produced album, too.
I agree.
So, I don't want to give it that title, but
I'll give it this title. I think that it is because of the. I mean, maybe it's because it's Billie, but there's. At least when I've listened to this record, there feels like continuity. Like I understand why each song is placed where it is. And like the album just truly ebbs and flows in such a fun way. Like this is a rare case where 10 songs is truly filling.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kanye did those 7 song albums for a while. And those always often kind of made me feel like there was still something left on the table afterwards. This is a 10 record album that is truly filling. It is a whirlwind of sound and melodies and instruments. And it is, I think, the most enjoyable Billie Eilish record to listen to.
Wow. For me, I don't know. I don't think I would make as bold of proclamations about this album. I don't. It slots in right with the other two. For me, I don't feel it really necessarily stands above or anything, but it what stands out to me about the album is it because you mentioned a lot about the writing changes and the production changes, but what immediately stands out on the album with the second song, Lunch, is That is the most full I think I've ever heard Billie Eilish's voice when she sings. Like, there's no whisper. It's just like actually like her full voice. And it's fun that like the singing style switches up too, and that like again, like on Birds of a Feather is another song too, where the whisper kind of goes away and it's like her normal voice. And I really appreciate just that difference.
That difference is huge. I want to underscore that. Particularly because, like, now that I think about the lead up to this record, kind of the most recent thing she dropped was
What was
the
I
best
made
song,
for?
the best song they've written, What Was I Made For? And that was just like in one of the most profound songs I've probably ever, or maybe the most profound song I've heard in the last year, and maybe one of the most profound songs I've heard in the last 5 years. And I really thought that they were going to show up with like a singer-songwriter, really stripped. And
Because that's what skinny,
sonically,
that's what skinny kind of lulls you
exactly.
into.
And sonically, I thought that you and I talked about this. I was like, oh, they really have to change up the sound. How are they going to change up the sound? And I didn't think about just her changing up her delivery and how much that changes the sonics of each sound. And like there are like she actually like the whispering, it's here and there, like there's skinny
Chihiro.
what yeah, Chihiro, whatever that is. That is the her voice being so full on these songs is one of the reasons I enjoy this record so much, because I get a sound from Billie Eilish that I feel like I haven't gotten yet. And obviously, I mean, me, you, and I probably appreciate that more than the average listener because we kind of force
I don't
ourselves to
know.
listen intensely.
But I think everyone is quite aware of the Billie Eilish whisper voice as a thing, if you're familiar with her as an artist at all. And so it just makes for, do you have more to say? Because I'm just sort of initially disagreeing with that point, but that's really all.
Which
I
point?
could go in of just like you feeling that others wouldn't appreciate the change in singing style. Because I think that that is definitely, I because for me, like I think like the Billie, like I just said, the Billie Eilish like whisper singing is kind of her trademark, and so going away from that, I think is noticeable generally.
Absolutely. I think I'm just n nailing it down so hard is because it's I just enjoy it so much more than the whisper voice. And I think that it allows her to reach an audience that really didn't l that maybe w and I know that's hard to say because Billie Eilish has 95 million monthly listeners, but I actually have like obviously there is a massive demographic that wouldn't listen to Billie Eilish and be and they my friends who don't like the whisper voice really enjoy Birds of a Feather and really enjoy the A Love of My Life outro and remix. And I'm not the biggest fan of Lunch. That's probably my least favorite song on the record, honestly.
Oh, really?
I just don't I really, really don't like the melody on that song.
Oh, I think it's groovy.
It is groovy, but I just
I
There's
enjoy the
something
groove.
about it I really don't like, but
Music's subjective. It's hard to say
of course.
sometimes.
But what's not subjective is that this album is fantastic. This is probably a 10 out of 10. Like the more I listen to it, the more I like I didn't think much of Wildflower, and now that's like one of my favorite songs on the record. The Greatest is an insane song. I mean, L'amour de ma vie is it's just one of the coolest Billie songs I think they've ever written.
And she
I'm not
goes.
a big fan of The Diner, but like just top to bottom, there is something in every track that I think most people will enjoy. Like the production in Chichiro is so, it's almost EDM. Like there's like that constant drum and the beat of the drum is one of my favorite parts of the song. And that's something that is present on this record that wasn't present on prior Billie records for me. And whether that be because her voice is more full, or because they're using more instruments that I tend to like the keyboards and the really deep 808s. But I mean, I tend to think that the kind of music I like is liked by a vast amount of people because I do kind of stay in the mainstream pod. But I mean, this is just a fun record to listen to. Like, that's really the word that I'm gonna nail down, is that this is fun to listen to and it's really an experience. This is what great artists should produce.
It also made for a very fun first listen because of all the surprises of like the synth in Chihiro. You just don't expect that to come in on a Billie Eilish album, and it does, and it's great and it's different. And yeah, like her going full Charli XCX on L'Amour de ma vie is just another one of those things where it's like it's exciting, it's different, it throws you off.
I
I
listen to
just
the remix of that every day.
Oh, the
Like, she
remix.
released a 4-minute version of it, of just the back half, of just the synth part.
Oh yeah.
And I just
Okay,
love
I
that
see
one,
that,
man.
yeah. That's
I
really
listen to
cool.
that like is my favorite Billy song. The second, the back, the outro of L'Amour de ma vie.
Yeah, it's that was yeah, it was an exciting and surprising first listen, and I think it deserves credit for that too.
I'm seeing a lot of people really enjoying this too. Like, this is the first album, probably honestly since Vultures, that like I've seen just people from across the spectrum of life posting the songs, enjoying the songs. And I personally believe that that is incredibly hard to do. And I have to applaud the O'Connells for just the greatness. That and the consistency of their work,
Yeah,
and
you just
it's
expect
yeah,
it to be
it's
good, and it is.
yeah, and these guys don't let you down, and every time it's full of surprises. And this was such an awesome album to drop on May 17th. Just this is the kind of album that you want to have as you listen to Summer,
Yeah.
just something that is just really fun to listen to and everyone enjoys listening to. And this is probably my favorite record of the year right now.
I could eat that girl for lunch. Hell yeah. Yeah, man.
What's your top three?
Ooh, yeah, top three. Here we go. I'm going. Ooh, I'll go L'Amour de ma vie for the Charli XCX part, which isn't
Yeah.
Charli XCX, but it sounds so much like her, it might as well be. Chihiro and Lunch. Shout out Birds of a Feather for being like 3B, I suppose.
Yeah, if I can't count L'Amour de ma vie like the outro song, then I would do Birds of a Feather 1, Chitro 2, L'Amour de ma vie 3. Shout out Bluth, though. That song is super good. Like, there's multiple 5-minute songs on this record. I mean, it's just an insanely impressive body of work, top to bottom.
Well,
And
what
just
should.
looking, kind of just looking at it right now and looking at the song lengths are just kind of reinforcing how good the two of them are.
Then
This was fun. What should we play?
what should we play?
Let's play the, should we play the remix of the, because everyone's heard all the other songs a million times.
Yeah, sure. That'd be cool.
We'll play the remix of. Or she calls it Over Now. Over Now. What does she call it? Over Now Extended Edit. Yeah, so this is my favorite track, or my favorite section, I guess. I won't call it it's a totally different track, but my favorite section of. I'm so glad that she did this. Like, I'm so glad that
Yeah.
she went. Like, and it was
I
4 days after the record. Like, this was pre-planned, knew that people were going to eat this up. Threw out a 4-minute version of that insane synthy outro.
I didn't realize that that came out. I gotta listen to that once we finish recording
Oh,
here.
it's so fire. But yeah, this is L'Amour de ma vie, Over Now extended edit off of Billie Eilish's third and brand new, or not brand new, but new record, Hit Me Hard and Soft.
Thank you.
Welcome, neighbor, to our gayborhood. In Our Gayborhood is a journey through the communities of BC, meeting our neighbors who work towards a world where everyone can be proud of who they are. In our first season, get to know the Tushla advocates, educators, and students who help our schools grow into spaces where everyone can belong. Just like our neighborhoods, each episode is filled with the spirit of care, the energy of activism, and the warmth of community. Join us in Our Gayborhood, premiering June 14th at the Queer Arts Festival.
This is Kristen Carter. My debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music. Visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music for more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
And we back, and we back, and we back from the over now extended edit off derived from Billie Eilish's latest album, Hit Me Hard and Soft. But now we have to shift the discussion
transition
to one of our favorite recurring topics. Alex and Hugh try to psychoanalyze the rest of the world and figure out why certain songs are popular.
Well, we're pretty good at it, man. Like, we hit the nail on the head with, like, rap is, like, the, like, hip-hop might be the third or fourth most popular genre now. Like, in the span of 18 months, hip-hop went from the sound to country is above it, certain kinds of pop, like EDM I think is at a point it's never been at right now. They're playing John Summit on like the pop, like I heard Fortnite into a John Summit song. And I don't know if you listen to John Summit, Alex, but John Summit is kind of the it boy of EDM right now. He makes really fun music. Something with Dom Dahl is huge and Fredigan is huge. Also, but neither of them are on the top of the chart. What is folk?
Yeah,
like, but that, like, I think comes from this kind of charge from country.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's related. I just wanted to throw it in there.
Yeah, and if we look at the top of the charts right now, a familiar face is there in Post Malone, but he's alongside Morgan Wallen, and the number one song for the second straight week in a row on Billboard Hot 100.
You could say Post Malone had some help getting there with Morgan Wallen.
Which is a really dope song. That's a really fun song. And we've talked about Post Malone's kind of journey across the spectrum of music.
Yeah.
And we have touched on, we've kind of just acknowledged and kind of accepted these, acknowledged the fact that country is so big, or bigger than it's ever been. Country has fully moved into the mainstream. And honestly, it may have replaced hip hop.
For now.
Like it, for now. We need now. There needs to be a massive hip hop release, but
Things are never permanent though.
No, of course not.
In 2018, we could have said the exact same thing about rap, so. These things fluctuate, but right now the wave is swinging towards country.
And I think what's interesting about what you just said, and a point that's really important to make and kind of connect the dots, is, I mean, what really matters, I think, more so than ever, and maybe the problem with hip hop is that the people left standing have been standing for so long, but the variety of artists, like
new voices.
The new voices are huge, and who's like the only people standing in hip hop right now are honestly just Drake and Kendrick. Like, Lil Baby came and gone. Travis Scott is still there. 21 Savage is still there, but these are people who were there in 2018. J. Cole, the only person who has come by themselves and stayed is Yeet, and we've talked about why that, and maybe that just furthers the point that rap, and we talked about this, rap kind of the bottom fell out, and I think ideas kind of dried up.
Yeah.
But country, the shift to country has honestly been so astounding. The demographics that country is now like massively reaching into.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's infiltrated the suburbs, man.
It's infiltrated the suburbs. It's infiltrated the frat parties. It's like replaced. Yeah. It's like replaced Pitbull at frat parties. Now instead you get Fast Car by Luke Combs, or you get
Dude, if I go to a frat party and I hear Fast Car, that'd be unreal.
But like, but you're not gonna hear Hotel Service anymore. You're gonna hear like, you're gonna hear like Romeo and Juliet, or you're gonna hear Last Night. And
yeah, no, I know, I'm just calling out Fast Car in particular as a poll, but I know what you mean.
Of course, I don't know if we've discussed why it is, the reasons for why genres come and go are such massive things. It's like the moving of continents. And I would love to know why. I mean, so you said that you, I have my reasonings. You said that you had done some research on this. I would love to know what you found out.
Yeah, I did some Googling. I Googled, why is country so popular?
And or maybe should I put my point forward?
Put your point first, because the answers that I found on
just for the sake of
Newsweek article, also honestly, no, the Variety article that I mentioned off air didn't actually like give any whys. It just said that it was, and it gave some statistics. But the Newsweek article that I looked
Do you want to provide those statistics before I provide my answer?
Oh, sure. So, so sorry, I'm just trying to get some particulars here. So yeah, like vinyl LPs, the share of vinyl album sales that are country increased from 6.6% in 2019 to 21.8% in 2023. The CD share of country sales, the percentage share of CD sales that are country has dropped from 64% in 2019 to 43% in 2023, but that's just share of an overall pie. That's not the raw numbers. And I think with vinyl rising and CDs falling in their shares, I think that shows what the article's thesis is that more young people are into country now than ever. It's the rise of country is being driven by our generation.
It is.
And with CDs falling off, no one in our generation listens to CDs, and vinyl's rising, and a lot of people in our generation, myself included, buy vinyl albums mostly as decor, but also just because it is fun to listen to a vinyl album. And CDs just kind of don't really, they don't fit the convenience need that streaming does, and they don't fit the
vibe that is vinyl.
Yeah, the vibe that is vinyl. So there's some stats there. There was a chart
so those
in
are
this
interesting.
Article.
That furthers my, because I mean,
here,
it is true.
One last thing about streaming data. Country genre US on-demand audio growth went from about a billion streams to 2.2 billion.
Okay.
Over that 4-year period of 2019 to 2023.
Okay, so why is that? I think that there are some actual reasons that we can give. Now, one, I think, is the downfall of rap. I do think that that has to be mentioned. Rap was kind of the leading sound of pop culture. It's far from that now. No longer are videos of Quavo smiling with his grills and all his chains on getting insane amounts of clicks and all that anymore. Obviously, the internet is more diluted, but the point stays the same. The characters in rap pretty much became stale. I think the production became stale. It got so oversaturated at one point that everyone who was part of that new wave kind of just disappeared. And we've talked before about how everyone left standing was there in 2018. So because of that,
it created space.
Additionally, and this is really a shot in the dark, but to me it makes sense, and it is that it is our generation that is driving country forward. There was a Zach Lane Bryan show. He's actually doing three nights at Staples, all sold out. That's insane. At Staples Center. Obviously, he's not Taylor Swift at SoFi, but that's still, that is still like
something.
This is a country artist in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
Where a mass amount of the population is from Mexico and they don't even listen to country.
Yeah.
Or Latinos, and there's immigrants, and it is a country, it is like, it is a city of just so many different things. And the kind of the fall off of rap. And I mean, this is really a shot in the dark, but I do really think kind of the, almost the hardships our generation, or the hardships that are kind of being laid at the feet of our generation as we enter adulthood, whether that be just kind of the realization that we're not all going to be rock stars when we told we were as children, or that be the job market being so saturated that people can't find work, or just kind of this idea that our culture has kind of been diluted, or all these things, like just the idea of that you really got to make money. Our generation is kind of running into this at the same time rap is falling off. And I really think that country music provides a vibe of comfort and kind of, and country music has always been a gritty, a tough sound, man. Like those people, like they actually drive trucks around and they actually have big green tractors. Like some of those country artists, they really live the talk they talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now more than ever, the talk that they are talking in country is more appealing than ever. And it is more relatable than ever. Because the kind of, like I told you this when I think it was 616 in LA dropped. My favorite line from that was, how many more fairy tales of your life do we need to hear? And I just don't think that hearing about all these girls and mm-hmm. the kind of the braggadocio that was rap, that is fulfilling anymore. And people are really being fed and being fulfilled and really relating to the struggles and the kind of relatability of the experiences of Zach Bryan, of Morgan Wallen, because these people truly do feel more real. Like it feels like you could be Morgan Wallen way more than it feels like you could be Kendrick or Drake. And
yeah,
and that's not just say because those two guys are black and Morgan Wallen is white, but because those two guys, they kind of project a life. Kendrick less so than Drake. Drake is obviously the king of projecting a life.
Yeah,
that just doesn't feel realistic. And I think that kind of our generation coming to these kind of coming into adulthood and kind of having to face these existential and these fiscal and these moral dilemmas at the same time rap is dying, and these new kind of more accessible faces and sounds in country are popping up, and all of these are combining at the perfect time. And maybe this is, and we talked about how Dua Lipa's album that sounds in like almost painfully mainstream. When I go back and like that album actually really has no re-listen value for me. I'm really struggling to listen to it beyond the original listens because it just sounds like I've heard everything so many times. And the most impressive part about every country song is the storytelling and like in every country song, it just feels like you are there. And it is, they talk about a demo, like you, if we put on Pink Skies by Zach Bryan, which is on the Billboard Hot 100, along with I Had Some Help, Morgan Wallen, Post Malone, even though I Had Some Help is honestly is a pop song.
Yeah.
But that kind of furthers my point is that these country guys have kind of taken some of the sounds of pop and snuck them into country and kept it, like Last Night is a pop song, but it's a country song at the same time. And all of these things have come together and it is allowed. And it just kind of, it's the perfect storm. Kind of like how the perfect storm got Donald Trump out of office with COVID and George Floyd and BLM and all that. This is the perfect storm for country art. And I really can't tell you how many people I know now are just full-blown country fans. Like, I'm slowly starting to become the outlier here, not listening to country. And I've been thinking about it for a while, and like Zach Bryan in particular, like, he talks about a lifestyle and a livelihood that you just have to respect. And the storytelling in most country songs is unbelievable. Like, that is a strong part of, like, the low part of country for me is the instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the high part and the best part is the storytelling. Like, I'm not a, I don't like the banjo, and I'm not the biggest, like, I would way rather have the Chicharro drums and synth. Like, I take that every single day over the guitar and the piano. But the storytelling in country is just, has gotten, the songwriters have gotten so good and the artists have gotten so relatable and so wide reaching that I can't see country slowing down. And I bet Taylor Swift gets back on that train with her next record if country's still hot. Mm-hmm.
Beyonce already made a country album.
Exactly. Beyonce made a country going album.
Post Malone's going country.
Yeah.
Post Malone Lana Del Rey has a country album coming.
And
right. So, would you like to hear a quote from Diana D'Angelo, the CEO of Breaking Creatives Agency, who is about to say in fewer words pretty much exactly what you just said?
Oh, for real? Okay. I'm glad I organically open got quote. To the same spot as someone who gets paid to get to the same spot. That makes me feel good.
Open quote. Many of us can relate to lost love and wanting to key someone's car. Many of us know the feeling of working our tails off for a few bucks. After the pandemic, followed by so many social injustices and current wars around the world, maybe we are leaning into country music because it allows us to take refuge in the simplicity of the tales spun from the heartland, where honesty reigns supreme and vulnerability is celebrated. Maybe this is our collective hearing era. One can hope. Close quote.
That is exactly what I thought. And you're right. That is the same thing.
Yeah, which is... I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you come out...
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
Because the particular... Again, if we want to make this in a, like, make a country fell or hip-hop fell and country rose to fill its place type of narrative, like...
That's not the narrative I wanted to convey, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But, I just thought that was just still, an interesting thing to add.
Yeah, still, okay. But the contrast, I still want to... There's still an idea I got about, like, the contrast here,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, hip-hop, that particular brand of the trap music that rose in the 2010s, because, like, rap music can be just relatable storytelling songs that are just kind of focused on your personal experience. Like, that's ultimately, like, the roots of the genre. But the brand of trap that rose in the 2010s is, you know, like you said, like Quavo posting with his, you know, $1,000 watches on his wrist and a grill on his mouth and Cartier shades and all this fun stuff. And that brand of trap became about projecting a lifestyle that is just way above what anyone can reasonably expect to attain for themselves. And beyond what a lot of those guys could probably reasonably attain for themselves, but they did it anyway to keep up the image. And then you go from that, and then the pandemic happens, and that's when the bottom falls out of hip-hop, when all these new guys that rose up into the trap scene projecting that image, they all fall out, and the pandemic kind of forces you to... Like, for me, that was... I mean, granted, I also came of age, so, like, maybe that's why, but... Like, the pandemic, I think, kind of forced a reflection on life and the, like, power dynamics of society and, like, who calls the shots and who says what's what and things of that nature to have a bit of a vague ending. But, you know, it forced a reflection. It forced us to reflect, and then... BLM movement that rose in the summer of 2020 also forced a lot of reflection. And so then Rise is a genre that, like that quote said, like you mentioned, you know, is generally a lot more humble, a lot more stripped, a lot more personable,
and brutally relatable.
Yeah. And like realer. Like there's nothing in Amigos song that's not true. There's plenty of stuff in Amigos song that is real, but it's all coded in I'm winning now though. Whereas
it's the experiences.
Yeah.
The experience.
Whereas like it isn't as light, perhaps.
I love that she said Tales of the Heartland. Like that really is the truth, is that the experiences that someone like Zach Bryan is going to have is like throughout the entire day, someone can fully relate to. Whereas no one can I really think that matters. I really think that's important. And the comfort that it brings when listening to someone talk about that and the relatable and like the relatability of that, it just creates a further connection with the music, I believe. And like I was saying, kind of the hardships of our generation that is kind of being laid at the feet, the world that we are going to inevitably have to fix. The songs, the Heartland and the normality and the failure of kind of greater events to intrude on part of the country, I think that is something that people really, really like right now. And I absolutely see why. And I honestly don't see how countries is going to slow down. Honestly.
Well,
I mean, actually, because they're all just dropping. There's going to be a gap between when they drop and not, but man, is that quote ever spot on?
Yeah. It'll hit a saturation point, presumably, as these things do, and it ebbs and flows, but it's definitely, you know, like you've talked about, a lot of things coming together at the right time to create
absolutely the
environment that we're in now.
Absolutely. And I do think that country music at this point and the big artists, and when like I'm really thinking of Morgan Wallen, Luke Combs, and Zach Bryan. Like that's like the Cerberus of country music right now.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly Zach Bryan, whose album I honestly had the pleasure of listening to in a big old pickup truck with some friends.
Well, that's the best place to listen to it in.
It's comforting music, man. It is comforting music. And the storytelling, man, it's great. It's so stripped and it's real and it's raw. And it's comforting. And as you and I talked about on the phone, it's an escape. And country is the comforting escape. Rap was the fun escape.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what EDM, maybe EDM is taking rap's place, honestly. EDM is now the fun escape. You throw on John Summit and you just blast off. Mm-hmm. And or you could throw on Zach Bryan and you feel homely and it's humble. And he comes out with his like lead paint stained jeans and his with his like dirty boots and his belt buckle his grandfather probably gave him. And people love that and people relate to that, and that's comforting. And I think that is an aspect of music I never thought of, which is the comfort that music can create. And I think that country is doing that better than anything else right now.
Well
at
said.
Least in the United States.
Yeah, and Canada.
I would love, I like it, because honestly, I don't think anyone listens in country anywhere else.
Yeah, like, it's, yeah, I mean, I
tried to look up.
I imagine
up
these guys are doing world tours and stuff.
I know. I tried to look up like, what is his name? Like the country guy with the most hits. His name is escaping me.
Johnny Cash?
No. Thunder Rolls. What is that guy? And the Thunder Rolls. Garth Brooks.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
I tried to see if Garth Brooks had ever toured like Germany or anything, because like I was really curious to see if, like, I doubt that the Brits like country.
Well, like, looking at the UK top 50 on Spotify right now, which granted.
No, that know. I think that like we said, I think that's.
Well, no, you can see the plays right here. Like, it tells you, a bar song by Shaboozy.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
That song's dope, though.
It is, but that's a remake. But yeah, but
it is. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, a bar song. That's a song. Okay. Here's I had some help.
I had some help. Stick boots season. Stop working. Yeah, Stick Season's in there.
Belong Together, Mark Ambor.
But it's also just the most.
But Mr. Brightside's also still in here.
Oh yeah, but it's also
thanks guys.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, but it's also just what's popular on streaming right now in general, and so that might affect things because of just people listening to like today's hot hits playlist, and it just comes up. So it is still kind of tough to say exactly what.
Let's look at the top 50.
If that's an effect of what am I trying to say? If that's effective, just like the way Spotify curates music, or if it's an effect of what people are actually seeking out. Yeah, top 50.
I mean,
you got
top five on the US.
Top 50. Bar Song's still up there.
You should go to top 50 USA and scroll to the bottom.
Smith.
It's 40 of 40 to 50. It's 8 out of 10 country. Like, there's a lot of country in here. As expected, man. Like, this stargazing song.
Canada's is pretty laden, too. But on the
Canada
note,
and the U.S.,
though,
it's a similar heartland life. Yeah. Whereas the heartland of Germany or
I feel
other
like Canada's
places,
a more country music place per capita, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't think anywhere else but U.S. and Canada. For the reasons we just said, I'm not sure country music provokes the same things in France or in Spain.
Well, it's probably more folk music.
Explicitly and country. It's also not in English.
Yeah.
Like
there are plenty bilingual in Europe. It's not that much of an issue.
This is true. But with that said.
I would like to close the show out with a bar song, though.
Yeah. That song. That's a classic, man.
That song's a lot of fun.
Everybody at the bar. He just dropped an album. As I try to listen to most records, it has Big X the plug on it, so I really gotta listen now. And tonight, in about 30 minutes, K Tronada drops, and I'm going to absolutely devour that album. That will be so good. But I assume we're coming to our end here. Do you want to play Houdini? We can play a bar song, but
I think a bar song is just more topical.
Fair enough, man. I mean, whenever the death of Slim Shady drops or whatever he's going to call it.
Whenever him drops, we can talk about that.
Guess who's back and for my last trick.
Yep.
That would be a cool album title.
I think that's like the subheader. It's like, that's like the thing that goes after the colon in the title, you know?
Yeah. That's fire.
Yeah, the death of Slim Shady is what the album's going to be called. And then in brackets, I think I saw it's a coup de grâce. Coup de grâce. Anyway.
I mean, what was the last Eminem album?
Music to be Murdered By.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was like right before the pandemic, I think.
January 17th, 2020. Shout out to Godzilla.
Yeah, people love that song. It's 1.5 billion.
I like that song.
Oh my God.
I'm one of them. But on that note, thank you all very much for tuning in and listening to another episode of Music's on the Menu. We will be back on the airwaves at some point. Would it be next week? Who knows?
Yes.
Yes. We are saying this for certain.
Yes.
This time next week.
Yes.
Bet. All right.
Alrighty.
Thank you all very much for listening, and you will be hearing from us next week. Ciao.
Bye.
My baby born a Birkin. She's been telling me all night long. Gasoline and groceries. The list goes on and on. It's 9 to 5 ain't working. Why the hell do I work so hard? I can't worry about my problems. I can't take them when I'm gone. One, here comes the two, to the three, to the four. Tell them bring another round, we need plenty more. Two stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor. Oh my, good lord. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jay Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. Everybody at the bar getting tipsy. I've been boozy since I left. I ain't changing for a check. Tell my mind I ain't forget. Drunk at 10 a.m. We gon' do this again. Tell your girl to bring a friend. Oh Lord. One, here comes the two, to the three, to the four. Tell them bring another round. We need plenty more. Two stepping on the table. She don't need a dance floor. Oh my, good Lord. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jay Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar gets tipsy. Comes the two to the three to the four. When it's last call and they kick us out the door. It's getting kind of late, but the ladies want some more. Oh my, good Lord. Tell them drink some. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey. They know me and Jack Daniels got a history. There's a party downtown near Fifth Street. Everybody at the bar get tipsy. Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Are you interested in playing, watching, or discussing all things cricket? Look no further than UBC's Cricket Club. Reach out to @AMSUBCCricketClub on Instagram to get connected today.
Que tú y solo tú me alelas cuando cantas ese jazz lento. Porque tú y solo tú me alelas cuando cantas. Porque tú y solo tú me alelas cuando cantas.
cabine a bailarlo en la punta del pie. Porque tú...